So we are in week two of the story, and today we are we're taking on a big chunk. If you read the story and you read about the life of Abraham, and actually more than just the life of Abraham, it was the birth of the nation of Israel. And so that's what today's going to be about. And in storybook fashion, we're going to kind of look at the life of Abraham and design a little comic book strip here as we work through that. And I know you guys enjoy my amazing artwork. that it is. So in the beginning, we've got, I need to section off a little section here for what happens a little bit later. So we've got chapter 12. We're going to be talking about chapters 12 through 25 is going to be our focus in Genesis. Chapter 2 in the story. Chapters 12 through 25, and actually chapter 2 in the story goes all the way to like 35 roughly in Genesis. And so we're going to kind of do a quick overview of the last little bit there. But my focus is going to be Abraham today. So starting in chapter 12, we've got Abraham here. Oh, get my markers working here. And we'll distinguish him with a little beard because he was an old guy by now. And then we've got God, you know, because he's a little transparent in our. So God comes to Abraham, and the Lord said to Abraham, and the scriptures are not going to be up on the screen. There, we'll only have one up on the screen, but I will read. This is Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." Say, God builds and God blesses. That's our title today. God builds. Okay, there we go. Maybe I gave you too much to say. And God blesses. And now everybody feels like they need to sneeze now. So, but yes, God builds and he blesses. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will build you. I will build you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so this is the beginning. This is the beginning of God revealing a little bit of the covenant. In Genesis chapters 12, 15, and 17, really jump around. And we'll have, those are kind of some of our big blocks here that we'll be focusing on. And that those all center around God revealing more and more of the covenant to Abraham. And so this is the beginning of it. He says, take everything you got, take off and go to this land I'm going to show you. And so this is God speaking to Abraham, and this is the beginning of it. This is Abraham's choice. Am I going to embark on this story? Am I going to let God build me and bless me? Or am I going to stay behind? And we know that Abraham just packed up everything and took off and he left. And then a famine happened in the land. They went down to Egypt. And when they went down to Egypt, well, I'll tell you the story and I'll draw a little bit down there as I'm telling you the story. Abraham, and my guess is Abraham's wife, Sarai, actually his name is Abram at this time. Abram's wife, Sarai, was, I guess, a really, really, really good-looking girl. Because wherever he went, he was worried about people killing him and taking her for themselves. And so when they went down to Egypt, he told her, he said, and this is, we'll call this here, Sister Part 1. So some of you guys who know the story know why that's Part 1. So we got Sarah, distinguished by her lovely hair there. And so Abraham, with his beard again, you know, with a little wink there. See it? Sister. So he says, tell them that you're my sister so that they won't kill me and take you for their wife. So she goes along with it to save, you know, her husband. And so they go down there and she says, yeah, I'm his sister. And so the Pharaoh thinks she's just wonderful. So Pharaoh takes her as his wife, and that doesn't work out so good for Pharaoh. There's disease that happens, and he finds out that she's actually Abram's wife, and Sarai. I need to use their correct names for the first few chapters here. So that just blew up in their face, and they send them on their way. And so that's Sister Part 1. So that's chapter 12 in a nutshell. And then chapter 13, up here in chapter 13, Abraham had a nephew with him. His name is Lot, and he traveled around with him as he was moving from place to place. And pardon me, our whole family's dealing with this. I'm actually the second best in health in my family right now. So Lot's following along with him, and they kept growing and growing and growing, and it got to where that they just couldn't share the same land. There was quarreling among Lot's herdsmen with Abram's herdsmen, and so Abram says, "Hey, you know, there's no reason for this. There's plenty of land here. You decide where you want to go, and we'll see where we want to go here." And we'll just kind of to illustrate this, we'll put a map. And a little bit of the promised land here. Some of you guys know your maps, no? And so Lot looked over and he said, "Well, you know what? This space over here to the east, it looks like Egypt. It's well watered. It's nice and green. It looks great. I'll take that for myself." And Abraham said, "That's fine. I'll go west." And so we got Lot over there and we got Abraham over here. And that's pretty much what happens in chapter 13. But you get a chance to see a little bit of Abraham's personality in this. You know, we got the whole sister story, you know, a little self-preservation. But you see him here with Lot and he's like, "Hey, take whatever you want." Lot takes what he thinks is the good one, you know, the good side. And Abraham goes on and takes the other side. And we're going to see a little more of that in chapter 14. So chapter 14... I'm having to fly through this so we can make sure that we're good on time. Chapter 14, there are four kings going to war against five kings. And I'm not going to bother trying to get all those names out, but that's the idea. You got four kings going against five kings, and the four king group wins over some of the five king group, especially a town called Sodom, and which was particularly important to our story with Abraham because we're going to come back to Sodom here in a few chapters, but Lot settled in Sodom. When he settled to the east, that's where he ended up living. Not the best choice of residence, you know. He didn't do his internet checking on good neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods. And so he settled in Sodom, and Sodom lost in this. Sodom was on the team of five kings, and they lost, and Lot got taken as a prisoner. And so I want you to just kind of see this building and this blessing of God with Abraham and also see some of Abraham's personality in this and his heart and the way he goes out. We've got four kings against five kings. The four kings were more powerful than these, so they kind of won. So we know these guys are pretty powerful. So Abraham finds out that Lot's taken prisoner, and he's like, "No, you're not going to do that to my family." So he gathers up a team of an army of 318 people. Oh, that's a, wow, I don't have my, well, we're just going to have to suffer through a rough looking. And he goes to war. So some mean eyebrows there with the beard. So there we go. He's a little dirty in my picture. He's going to be a little cleaner up there on the slide there. So he goes off to war with 318 men, and he takes on all four of those kings. And he gets back all the stuff that was plundered from the other towns. He gets back Lot and brings it back. And so pretty amazing to see that God is doing this with this one little man, this one Abraham. And so then we go on to 15, which is a major chapter where God reveals a little more to Abraham. I'm going to get the picture out here. So God is speaking to Abraham. So we'll have... He's pointing up here. Abraham is looking up. Ooh. That's my woo face. You guys can see that. And God is saying, "Look at all these stars up in the sky. Look at all the stars. Can you count them? Look at them all up there." And I mean, we've got the ones that are big, and then you got all the little, you know, little stars everywhere. I'm going to put this up on the screen. And God says, well, actually, they come back to this covenant thing. Abraham said to God, he said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Just an amazing scene. Could you imagine that? God pulls him outside, and he said, just count the stars if you can. If you can. This is how I'm going to build you. This is how I'm going to bless you. Back here, he just says, hey, take off, go over to land I'm going to show you. I'm going to build you, and I'm going to bless you. Now he's giving him more. Look at all the stars. This is how big I'm going to build you. This is how big I'm going to bless you. And so we get into chapter 16, and his wife Sarai, I keep calling him Abram, his wife Sarai decides she's going to help God out with this because they're old and they're not having any children so far and it's not working out. So she says, hey, why don't you take my maidservant Hagar and that poor thing, a name like that. I couldn't see going through life. Don't ever name your kid Hagar. That just would be wrong. I hope there's no one named Hagar in the crowd this morning. So she said, take my maidservant Hagar and sleep with her to help God out with this promise, because there aren't any heirs coming from me. And so if he said it was coming from your body, it must be coming through a different woman. So he sleeps with the maidservant Hagar, and Hagar gets pregnant, and this causes problems. And so we'll kind of do a little two-parter here. So we've got, Sarah says that, here, she's got her hands on her hips. And she's got the angry face. And Sarah's distinctive hair. And then we've got Hagar. And she's pregnant. And she's got her hands on her face. She's crying. And she's got amazingly naturally curly hair. And so things weren't working out so well to them because Hagar started despising Sarai, and Sarai started having some problems with Hagar. And so Sarai goes to Abram and says, hey, what's going on here? And he said, she's your maidservant. You can do with her whatever you want to do. And so she kicks her out. She sends her, actually, she doesn't kick her out. She treats her very, very badly, and Hagar leaves. And then Hagar, later in chapter 16, you see Hagar sitting there. And I'm sure some of it had to do with her awesome hair. You know, the jealousy issues there. So you have pregnant Hagar here, and an angel comes to visit her and comforts her and encourages her. My angels are awesome. They kind of look like Batman with a halo. So did I put, yeah, I got a halo on him. And so an angel comes and comforts Hagar and says, go back, submit to Sarai, and God's going to be with you. He's going to take care of you. So chapter 16, chapter 17. So 12, 15, and 17, major chapters in the idea of understanding the covenant. So in chapter 17, God confirms his covenant with Abram. And this involves a name change for both Sarai and Abram. And divide this up this way. Hopefully that'll give me enough room. So we got chapter 17. We got Abram, who's now the name I've been trying not to use, which is Abraham. And so we're going to put him down here. And then we've got Sarai, which now becomes Sarah. And God tells both of them in chapter 17 and 18, I think maybe hers, no, hers is in chapter 17 also. So God tells both of them at two separate times, hey, you're going to, kings are going to come from you. And so we got Abraham and Sarah, and we'll draw out some little crowns over here to represent the kings. This is how I'm going to build you. This is how I'm going to bless you. And then one of the fancy kind of crowns that has the poof. There we go. So we got crowns. Kings are going to come from Abraham and Sarah. This is what's going to happen. And when God told Abraham this, so in the two separate conversations, Abraham's conversation comes first, and he changes Abram's name to Abraham, and he tells him, kings are going to come from you. Then you guys know what Abraham does, don't you? What does he do? You guys know this story. Oh, he's holding his belly. I got to get this beard on him. You guys didn't know that was Abraham. Ha, ha, ha. Do you guys know Abraham laughed? Yeah. So Abraham laughs. He just falls down. He's laughing. Ha, oh, this is hilarious because I'm an old man. Sarah's an old woman. And it's just, this is just too funny. This is really too funny. Well, in the midst of that conversation, God adds more. Okay, so leave the land. I'm going to go and go where I'm going to show you. I'm going to build you. I'm going to bless you. Here, look how big I want to build you and how much I'm going to bless you. And now we start getting into some of the tough part of the covenant is, how much do you trust me? How much will you obey me? Because in the midst of this covenant, in chapter 17, we see the part that where God's going to expect of Abraham is this covenant of circumcision. And so I didn't know there'd be too many young ones in the audience, but you guys can talk about that in your spare time over lunch. So God tells him, he said, every boy in your household that's been born in your household, that lives in your household, and any person, any boy, man, 8 days and older. And then the idea was from generations to come that on the eighth day was when circumcision would happen. And so that day when Abraham was 99 years old, Ishmael was 13, which Ishmael, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the name of the son here. The Hagar has a son. His name is Ishmael. And so, oh, this pains me. All right, well, and we got a little knife in his hand there. So that's what happened in chapter 17 with circumcision at 99 years old. So chapter 18, a couple different things happened in chapter 18. We've got three visitors that come. Actually, I need to divide my little chapter 18 section up here. So chapter 18, we have three visitors that come visit. They look like men, but we find out later, and that's why I want to use my dotted lines, that they are actually two angels and, oops, I didn't bring my eraser up here. Two angels and the angel of the Lord came to visit, and Abraham makes a good host. He's very hospitable to them. And these three visitors, they reconfirm to Abraham, the angel of the Lord tells Abraham, I'm telling you, by this time next year when we come back and visit you, you will have a son. You will have a son. And so while they're talking to Abraham, Sarah overhears them. And she's like, so Sarah laughs. So we got here, holding her belly. Which is funny here because I don't know who's speaking. I don't know if it's God that speaks to Sarah or Abraham that speaks to Sarah. And they said, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't, because she was scared. And no, you did. So go and read that in chapter. It's really kind of funny because it's, you know, I don't know which, as I said, I can't tell who the he is that's speaking to her, but he said, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. And then I feel a little bit of that, you know, pause there. Yes, you did. And then it goes on from there. So that's where that ends up. So Sarah laughs, Abraham laughs. And then the angel of the Lord says to the other guys that are with him, the other angels, he said, you know what? Should we tell Abraham what we're going to do? Yes, we should. And so they tell him, we're going to go down and check out Sodom because we've heard that there are some just nasty things going on down there. Sodom is filled with this wretched evil. And So we're going to go down there and check it out. And if it's as bad as what we hear that it is, then we're going to destroy it. And of course, we know who lives in Sodom. Who? Lot. And so Abraham's concerned about this. He said, well, certainly you wouldn't kill. I mean, all the righteous people that are in there with the wicked people. What if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom? Would you spare Sodom for 50 righteous people? And God said, yeah, I would do that. And so Abraham, and I'm wondering if Abraham's starting to think at this point, you know what, Sodom is pretty bad. What if it was just 5 less than 50? What if it was, okay, so what if it was 45 people, in righteous people? Would you spare Sodom? I mean, we're only 5 people difference. Would you spare Sodom for that? And God says, well, yes, I would. I'd spare Sodom for 45 righteous people. And so Abraham comes back and he says, well, you know what? What if there are 40 righteous people? Yes, I would spare it. What if there were 30? Yes, I would spare it. What if there were 20 righteous people? And I'm just thinking, Abraham's just really pulling. He's, okay, how many people do I know from Sodom? What if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom? Would you save it? Would you spare it? And we get a chance to see, once again, some of Abraham's heart, some of his personality here, and the idea of also, you know, looking out for Lot, but also looking at, what if there are some righteous people there? Would you destroy it over that? And God even says, yes, if there are 10 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the city. And those of you guys who know, they go down there, and of course, these angels, they are in the appearance of men. And so when they show up, Lot is like, no, don't go in there. And they're like, yes, we need to go to the heart of the city. We need to stay there so we can get a good idea what the city's like. And Lot's like, no, you need to stay with me. He convinces them to come to his house. When the men, both old and young of the city, hear that these men are there, they had gotten rumors gone around. And I guess since they're, you know, angels, they're probably not too awful bad looking, but these other men, they came knocking at Lot's door wanting to have sex with these men. And so now we get a chance to at least see one of the sins, if that wasn't the sin, the reason why God was there. And so Lot's saying, no, 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 and they're trying to push their way in. And so the angels cause blindness to fall on the men so that they can't find the door. And they tell Lot and his family, and say, if you have any family in this town, any family at all, you need to get out of here. We are destroying this place. This place is going down. And so in chapter 19, and I'll draw my quick city here. I've got a better city up on the screen there. We're told that God sends sulfur raining down from heaven and burns up Sodom and Gomorrah. And actually had the scripture there for that. Chapter 19, verse 24 says, then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Very clear that it was God that did that. Told that Lot's wife, she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. I'm guessing because she desired to go back. We have an awful story that follows that with Lot's daughters, who get him drunk, and they become pregnant one at a time over the period of a couple nights. And I can only assume that has something to do with where they were raised, in the town and the problems that they had in there. And their concern was, we have no one to carry on the line of Lot, so we'll let our own father carry the line along through us. And I bring that up because when we get into future chapters here in the Old Testament, the oldest gave birth to a boy and his name was Moab. The youngest gave birth to a son and his name was Ben-Ammi. Moab became the father of the Moabites. And Ben-Ammi became the father of the Ammonites. And they give Israel a lot of headaches in the years to come. So just to see how things can go down the negative road too when you step out of line. So that's where they come from. So back to chapter 20. In chapter 20, you guys can read it yourself. Second verse, same as the first. Sister, part two. It's another town, and Abraham pulls the same thing. She's my sister, wink. And problems fall on Abimelech, and that he ends up letting Abimelech lets them stay where they are, and gives them land and gives them all sorts of stuff. But still, the same situation. Abimelech takes her as his wife, and then God comes to him in a dream and says, "You know, hey, you're as good as dead because this woman, she's married to Abraham." And so he goes to Abraham, and go read that one for yourself. Small part of our piece here. Chapter 21, pretty much the basic gist. There, the important part of our story there is that got Sarah's arms there. She has a baby, and his name is Isaac. Good job. Here's a little family portrait. Abraham's got a smile, a little more of a smile. So that's chapter 21. Chapter 22. This is where God tests Abraham. We're told sometime later God tested Abraham. And he said to him, "Abraham, here am I," he replied. God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." So, got Abraham and Isaac climbing up the mountain. And when they get up there, we've got this just awful picture for a father to think about. And his trust and obedience, we're told in the New Testament, that Abraham reasoned that God would be able to bring him back from the dead. But regardless, Abraham ties his son Isaac up. He's bound, laying on the altar, and he raises a knife up to kill him, to sacrifice him, to do what God had asked him to do. This is the blessing. This is where all of these descendants are going to come from. You can go to the next one. Yeah, that has that on there. And God says, "No, now I know you trust me." Look over, and over in the thicket, there was a ram that provided the offering instead of Isaac. And so we see the end of chapter 22, back down the other side, or back down the mountain, rather, not the other side, because they had servants down there. They both came back down the mountain together. Abraham showed his obedience, showed his trust, and God honored that. Okay, hit these last three chapters real quick, and then we'll get some application. 23, very simple. Sarah dies. And then, actually, I'll skip down here to 25. This is going to go out of order for the poor people running the screen. Oops, X's. And Abraham dies with his beard. In between those two chapters, 24... Abraham sends off, and this is a great story. I would encourage you to read it. It's not quite as much about Abraham as all the rest of this has been about, but Isaac's a man now, and I can't remember which one I put on which side. I'm going to flip the screen up there so I can match it. There we go. Okay, so Abraham sends a servant off and finds this young lady named Rebecca. And Rebecca and Isaac. I put a little goatee on Isaac because he's kind of like his dad. So, and they get married, and Abraham then dies knowing that his lineage is going to continue. Now, as you would continue in the next few chapters, you see the rest of the nation of Israel being birthed as Rebekah and Isaac have twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob steals the birthright from Esau. Then he runs away after stealing the blessing of the firstborn. And Jacob has two wives and two maidservants, and from those four women are born 12 boys. And those 12 boys are the 12 tribes of Israel, because back in chapter 32, Jacob wrestled with God, and God named him Israel, because Israel means wrestles with God. And so out of Jacob, who was also called Israel, came the 12 sons, and these 12 sons were the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's the birth of a nation. Now, to kind of step back and look at this, look at our storyboard. Here's where we're going to take some notes real quick. I'm going to pull your note section out. And these are just personal reflection as we are looking at this. And I want us to take this to heart. It's more than just a story about Abraham and a blessing there. It's a story about what God can do and what God will do and what we can look forward to seeing God doing in our lives. Because God builds and God blesses. But there's some things that we can model after Abraham. Just going to write this down. What is God asking me to leave behind so that he can build and bless me? You know, that's how the whole story started. Leave this behind and go to the land I'm going to show you. Maybe you're holding on to something today, and it's keeping you from experiencing the building and the blessing that God wants to do in you. Is there something you're holding on to? What is it that God's asking me to leave behind so he can build and bless me? And then as we venture out into chapters 13 and 14, how have God's blessings shaped my attitude to build and bless others? Because that's what should happen. You know, you see Abraham's attitude with Lot, you know, take whatever side you want, go whichever way you want, and I'll go the other way. Let me bless you. Let me help to build you. Lot gets captured. What happens? Abraham gets an army. He goes after him. Let me bless you. So how have God's blessings shaped your attitude to bless others? You know, as God builds us, he makes changes in us. And I believe that these changes that God makes in us as he builds us, he's building us to be able to hold better blessings. God changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. And it was a key part saying this is a change is happening in your life. And this change is happening because of me. And so my question is for all of us here, what are some changes that God is trying to make in me right now? What are some changes that God's trying to make in you right now? I'm not talking about a name change. But what are some things that God's working on you right now with? And could it be that these changes are to build me in a way that I'm able to hold his next blessing? Could that be what these changes are for? And are you going to miss out on the blessing if you don't let God change you to build you? You know, with Abraham and Sarah at the time, Abram and then Sarah, they laughed at God when God said that they were going to become pregnant at 90 and 100. Sarah, 90, and Abraham, 100. Almost 100, 99. 100 by the time we got around to here. So my question for us is, does my understanding of the natural world cause me to doubt God's ability to bless me in a supernatural way? You know, Abraham, Sarah, they looked at that and they laughed. He said, there's no way. Their natural understanding of things, it was causing them to doubt God's ability to bless in a supernatural way. Sometimes I think that happens with us, and we doubt that God can bless us in ways that he says that he will, or that he's going to bless us, and we doubt it. Because we're thinking on a natural level. We're thinking about natural things. We're thinking about logical things. God is supernatural, and he can bless supernaturally if he wants to. He builds. He blesses. Next point of reflection is this: just, do I trust God enough to endure the changes that hurt? And this might seem wrong to go here, but I'm right here in chapter 17. I mean, that whole deal with circumcision, 99 years old. I couldn't imagine that level of obedience. What are some things in your life that he's calling you to change that might not be pleasant to go through? The changes that hurt. Do you trust God enough to endure the changes that hurt? And if you look back up in your notes, reflecting that these changes are to build us. These changes are to help us to be able to hold the blessings that he has in store for us. Looking down here in chapter 22. How is God testing my trust and faith in him? Maybe you're going through a time right now where God is testing you. He's testing your trust. He's testing your faith. How is God doing that with you right now? What is he asking me to surrender to him? What is he asking me to surrender to him? And in reflection of chapter 22, just a couple of ideas on that. Maybe, you know, is it a blessing that he has given me? God blessed Abraham with Isaac, and he said, now give him back to me. Sacrifice him. Surrender him. Maybe God's given you a blessing, and he's asking you to sacrifice it back to him, to surrender it back to him. What is that blessing? What's that struggle? Or is it control over a situation? I mean, Abraham gave up control over that situation. It's going to be up to God. So maybe there's something there where you're being tested to trust God. And that involves having to surrender, having to give up control over a situation. The story of Abraham is just an amazing story. And I encourage you to continue reading in the story as we get a brief overview of things. But after you finish your chapter in the story, I encourage you to go to the real Bible, to the full Bible, and pick up on some of these extra things. I'm going to try and bring as much as I can into a Sunday morning here. I know the discussions that are happening in our small groups and our Sunday schools that are going through this program, that'll help to broaden what you're reading through the week. And this morning, and in light of Abraham and looking at Abraham and seeing, I mean, just seeing this, I mean, in comic book style, to see God take Abraham from chapter 12 all the way down to chapter 24, and as he dies in chapter 25, to see the story of Abraham's life and how it ebbed and flowed, and that Abraham was a real guy, and he had his flaws, he had his great moments, he had his times of doubt, he had his times of faith. And I think he's just a great guy to look at and say, I get that. I've got my good times. I've got my bad times. I've got my times of faith. I've got my times of doubt. But still, God built and blessed him. And I believe that God can build and bless each and every one of us, and that he wants to do that.